The Dave McGillivray Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGillivrayFoundation.org for more information.
Star Market Celtics tonight continues from the Garden and Orlando, both at the very same time. That's the magic. Our conversation with the head coach in the Zoom where it happens, brought to you by Star Market, just for you digital app. Earn rewards, save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. In this NBA, the idea of a 20-point lead vanishing isn't what it used to be. So we often talk about, as so many of these games are like that, with these dramatic swings, as Sunday's was, can you feel it when it's starting to happen? So my sort of add-on question is it different where you are? Are you more or less in tune with things like that because of the things you are now hearing that you could never hear before?
I would say, surprisingly, it feels the exact same. I would have thought going into this, it would have felt a lot different. The momentum shifts would not be as big, and it's just not the case. Momentum changes when you start taking shortcuts on defense. The other team gets hot. You start riding, or you start taking, for us, the ball doesn't touch the paint, and we start taking hard jump shots. And then it gets tough, you know, to mentally recover from that shift, right? And so you've got to be able to be strong. You've got to be able to be composed. You got to be able to say, okay, this stuff's going against us. We got to get tighter in our defensive system, and we got to get better in our offensive attack. We waited too long the other day, but the composure we showed at the end and the way that we executed at the end was very encouraging.
And I want to talk about defending that last play in a second, but if it wasn't different, you said surprisingly that wasn't different. What has been different now that you've had three scrimmages and two games? What is different about coaching with no crowd noise and all the things that fans are hearing on TV and hearing through the radio? You're not hearing that stuff. So obviously it's a completely different practice audio kind of thing. What has been different about coaching in that?
Well, the clothes we get to wear are better. So that's we're happy about that. But other than that, the play is pretty much the same. The game feels the same. You can hear calls a little bit more. You can hear back and forth between teams and players a little bit more. But it's not as pronounced as I would have thought.
Putting everyone outside the three-point line, which is how you sort of defended at the end when they needed the three, there were, I forget how many seconds there were remaining.
Six.
But there has been an amount of time where there's too much time left on the clock to do that. We're getting the easy two. There's still a lot of time left. Do you have a number in mind as to when you're comfortable just putting everybody outside the three-point line?
Well, at that time, it felt really obvious. You know, we've done that multiple times this year. We did it against Brooklyn when they came back, and we should have gotten a stop there, but we fouled. And we were in good shape to just take a really tough one. You know, the other day, I thought we did a great job. Tatum, Tice, and Marcus were all, you know, going to make Lillard feel it if he shot it. The scary part about Lillard is he'll put on the brakes on you. He'll stop and back into you and shoot it and make it, and then you lose. And so it's a really difficult thing. We needed to be very disciplined and having our hands back, all being there. But we wanted to take his airspace and make him pass it. And we were glad he passed it for a two.
As we transition to the number one three-point shooting team in the NBA tonight in Miami, before we get to the Heat and, you know, adding Iguodala and adding Crowder to a team that I know you really like the way they put it together even before they had added those guys, this is your only back-to-back coming up with the game tomorrow night. So you've never really been one for playoff seeding and all that. Obviously, this game probably has more effect on what your seed will be than any of the ones you will play in the bubble. My question is this. Tomorrow night on the back-to-back, do you already have a lineup / minute scripted for tomorrow night? And or does the outcome of this game affect that at all tomorrow?
Doesn't affect it. You know, obviously, you know, it'll be hard to catch Toronto. There's no question about it. Seeding is not the most important thing in this scenario, but playing well is. And we need to make sure that we continue to make strides playing well. So everything's focused on that. You know, we play at 6:30 tonight, 9 tomorrow. We should be able to have that turnaround and be able to play Obviously, depending on how many minutes guys play tonight, that may affect what they play tomorrow. But as far as sitting anybody, with the exception of Kimba, right, who won't play in a back-to-back, then we're not planning on that. I think right now we're trying to build towards becoming the best we can be. There may be a chance to, you know, pull back at some point, but it'll be largely dependent on how the next week goes in our games and games of other teams. And so it's interesting how this works, because we have beat Miami twice. So in theory, we'd have the series, but they played one more game.
That's right. They can't tie. So the tiebreaker is useless. Yeah. There's a lot of that kind of weird stuff going around. In those two games that you referenced, that we saw them early in the year, you talked about their early energy, which is something they've had all year. Obviously, they have all that shooting, and now adding not just veterans like Iguodala, who played the exact same role, you know, in Golden State, obviously a couple years older, and Jay Crowder. Now, as you were just telling the general media tonight, you're adding versatility to all that shooting.
Go back to a few years ago when we were playing LeBron in 15, and really we had Crowder as our only wing. Evan Turner was another wing, but, you know, he's a little bit smaller than even some of these guys are. And now, you know, I see a lot of this in the Heat, right? They go from really a shorter group to now you've got Duncan Robinson, 6'8 and long, Jimmy Butler long, Jay Crowder, Iguodala. You can put a group out there with Jones and those guys. Like, there's a lot of length and versatility on this team. And it kind of happened overnight. The trade deadline moves, to me, are clear what they were trying to accomplish. And I think they're playing great. They've started differently. They're not starting Leonard. They're starting small with Adebayo at the five, and that's a monster.
Well, that's the guy I want to talk about, because he's kind of the cheat code here. The NBA now is increasingly about the 6'6 wing defenders that can defend multiple positions and shoot. Miami has a ton of those guys. So how do you go one step further? How do you build a better mousetrap? You get a 6'10 guy that can defend multiple positions, and that's what he's done for them all year.
Well, and Tice does that for us at a certain level. So I think that's, you know, every good team has options with regard to they can guard pick and rolls and different actions different ways. Miami's got a ton of them. Today we'll see Adebayo back. We'll see him blitzing. We'll see him switching. He'll do all that because he can. You know, and Tice for us is similar in that regard. But it's quite a challenge. When they put it, you know, they probably sub more offense defense at the end of games than anybody in the league. And you could see that yesterday when they were playing Toronto.
That's the head coach. You made reference to the fashions, obviously, which are different on the sideline. This isn't like me, because I'm usually pretty heavy on the research. I didn't look up like your Chaminade games and your Hawaii games when you wore golf shirts and stuff like that. Do you feel you coach better when you're more comfortable like that?
I feel better. My bag is lighter to pack. It's easier. Yes. You don't have to carry that hanging bag anymore. So, listen, of all the things that haven't gone right in 2020, we need to make the one change that we can, and that is we need to make sure we keep the golf attire throughout the regular season. We may need some long sleeve shirts and pullovers when we get into TD Garden and places like that that are pretty chilly on a winter night, but hopefully we'll make that change.
Hey, it's tough year, but you've got golf shirts and a wristband that opens your hotel room. I mean, life is, you know, life's complicated, but there's some good stuff.
I got no complaints. We just have a really hard game in front of us.
And let's get to it. Celtics and Heat next on the 98.5, the Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.